careof.com. You know your body. We know science. Let's work together. Find the right vitamins, protein, and now collagen too. Personalized just for you. Healthy doesn't have to be hard. We make it easy. Take the quiz. Tell us a little about yourself. We're good listeners. Get nutrients at work. Get your personalized recommendation backed by science and delivered to you. Stick with it long term. Keep the conversation going. We'll adjust as your health needs change. A routine tailored to you. We'll help you create a health plan with vitamins, supplements, and more that help you feel your best today and support you long term. We're with you. Once you have your tailored plan, we'll help you stick with it, track your supplements, learn about how they work, and get new recommendations as your health changes, all in our handy app. Say hello to your new healthy habit. Honest guidance. We promise to be honest with you. That means we'll show you the research and be transparent about how established it is. We don't pretend all supplements have equal levels of scientific evidence or traditional history, because that isn't the truth, but we will always show our work and tailor our guidance to you as an individual. Better ingredients. Our research and development team has traveled the globe so we can provide the most effective, bioavailable, and sustainable ingredients possible. We're transparent about our supply chain because we build products we want to take, and then we deliver them straight to your door. Morning, today's election history is the election of 1800. The 1800 United States presidential election was the fourth United States presidential election. It was held from Friday, October 31st to Wednesday, December 3rd, 1800, in what is sometimes referred to as the election of Revolution of 1800. Vice President Thomas Jefferson of the Democratic Republican Party defeated incumbent President John Adams of the Federalist Party. The election was a realigning election that ushered in a generation of Democratic Republican rule. Adams and Daley defeated Jefferson in the 1796 election under the rules of the electoral system that were in place prior to the 1884 ratification of the 12th Amendment. Each member of the Electoral College cast two votes, with no distinction made between electoral votes for president and electoral votes for vice president. As Jefferson received the second most votes in 1796, he was elected vice president in 1800. Unlike the 1796, both parties formally nominated tickets. The Democratic Republicans nominated a ticket consisting of Jefferson and Aaron Burr, while the Federalists nominated a ticket consisting of Adams and Charles C. Pinckney. Each party formed a plan in which one of their respective electors would vote for a third candidate or abstain so that their preferred presidential candidate, Adams for the Federalists and Jefferson for the Democratic Republicans, would win one more vote than the party's other nominee. The chief political issues revolved around the fallout from the French Revolution and the Quasi-Yacht War. The Federalists favored a strong central government and close relations with Great Britain. The Democratic Republicans favored decentralization to the state governments, and the party attacked the taxes imposed by the Federalists. The Democratic Republicans also denounced the Alien and Sedition Act, which the Federalists had passed to make it hard for immigrants to become citizens and to restrict statements critical to the federal government. While the Democratic Republicans were well organized at the state and local levels, the Federalists were disorganized and suffered a bitter split between their two major leaders, President Adams and Alexander Hamilton. According to historian John Furler, the jockeying for electoral votes, regional divisions, and the propaganda and smear campaigns created by both parties made the election recognizably modern. At the end of a long and bitter campaign, Jefferson and Burr each won 33 electoral votes, Adams won 65 electoral votes, and Pinckney won 64 electoral votes. The Federalists swept through England, the Democratic Republicans dominated the South, and the party split the Mid-Atlantic states of New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. The Democratic Republicans' failure to execute their plan to award Jefferson one more vote than Burr resulted in a tie which necessitated a contingent election in the White House in the House of Representatives. Under the terms laid out in the Constitution, the ongoing House of Representatives chose between Jefferson and Burr, each state delegation cast one vote, and a victory in the contingent election required one candidate to win a majority of the state delegations. Neither Burr nor Jefferson were able to win on the first 35 ballots of the contingent election, as most Federalist Congress backed Burr and all Democratic Republican Congress backed Jefferson. Hamilton personally favored Jefferson over Burr, and he convinced several Federalists to switch the support to Jefferson, giving Jefferson victory on the 36th ballot of the contingent election. The result of this election was affected by the 35th clause of the United States Constitution. Historians such as Gary Wills have noted that had slaves not been counted for the purposes of congressional apportionment, Adams would have won the electoral vote. General election candidates. Both parties used congressional nominating caucuses to formally nominate tickets for the first time. The Federalists nominated a ticket consisting of incumbent President John Adams of Massachusetts and Charles Colesworth Pinckney of South Carolina. Pinckney had fought in the American Revolutionary War and later served as a minister to France. The Democratic Republicans nominated a ticket consisting of Vice President Thomas Jefferson of Virginia and former Senator Aaron Burr of New York. Jefferson had been the runner-up in the previous election and had co-founded the party with James Madison and others, while Burr was popular in the electorally important state of New York. Campaign. While the 1800 election was a rematch of the 1796 election, it ushered in a new type of American politics, a two-party republic, and acrimonious campaigning behind the scenes and through the press. On top of this, the election pitted the larger-than-life Adams and Jefferson, who were formerly close allies, turned political enemies. The campaign was bitter and characterized by slander and personal attacks on both sides. Federalists spread rumors that the Democratic Republicans were radicals who would ruin the country based on the Democratic Republican support for the French Revolution. In 1798, George Washington had complained that you could assume scrub the Blackamoor white as to change the principles of a professed Democrat, and that he will leave nothing unattempted to overturn the government of this country. Meanwhile, the Democratic Republicans accused Federalists of subverting Republican principles with the Alien and Sedition Act, some of which were later declared unconstitutional after their expiration by the Supreme Court, and relying for their support on foreign immigrants. They also accused Federalists of favoring Britain and the other coalition countries in their war with France in order to promote aristocratic anti-democratic values. Adams was attacked by both the opposition Democratic Republicans and a group of so-called High Federalists aligned with Alexander Hamilton. The Democratic Republicans felt that the Adams foreign policy was too favorable toward Britain, feared that the new army called up for the quasi-war would oppress the people, oppose new taxes to pay for war, and attack the Alien and Sedition Act as violation of states' rights and the Constitution. High Federalists considered Adams too moderate and would have preferred the leadership of Alexander Hamilton instead. Hamilton had apparently grown impatient with Adams and wanted a new president who was more sensitive to his goals. During Washington's presidency, Hamilton had been able to influence the federal response to the Whiskey Rebellion, which threatened the government's power to tax citizens. When Washington announced that he would not seek a third term, Adams was widely recognized by the Federalists as next in line. Hamilton appears to have hoped in sometimes that their influence within and out of the administration would be as great as or greater than in Washington. By 1800, Hamilton had become Hamilton had come to realize that Adams was too independent, and thought that Federalist Vice Presidential candidate Charles Colesworth Pinckney of South Carolina more suited to serving Hamilton's interests. In his third Congress attempt toward Adams, Hamilton Partly schemed to elect Pinckney to the presidency, given Pinckney's lack of political experience, he would have been expected to be open to Hamilton's influence. However, Hamilton's plan backfired and hurt the Federalist Party, particularly after one of his letters, scathing criticism as that was 54 pages long, fell into the hands of the Democratic Republican, and soon after became public. It embarrassed Adams and damaged Hamilton's efforts on behalf of Pinckney, not to mention speeding Hamilton's own political decline. The contemporary unauthorized public campaigning methods employed in 1800 were first employed by Jefferson's running mate and campaign manager Aaron Burr, who is credited with by some historians inventing the modern electioneering process. Selection method changes. Partisans on both sides sought any advantage they could find in several states. This included changing the process of selecting electors to ensure the desired result. In Georgia, Democratic Republican electors replaced the popular vote with selection by the state legislature. Did the same in Massachusetts and New Hampshire. This may have had some unintended consequences in Massachusetts, where the makeup of the delegation to the House of Representatives changed from 12 Federalists and 2 Democratic Republicans to 8 Federalists and 6 Democratic Republicans, perhaps a result of backlash on part of the electorate. Pennsylvania also switched to legislative choice, but this resulted in an almost evident, evenly split set of electors. Virginia switched from electoral districts to winner-take-all, a move that probably switched one or two votes out of the Federalist column. Voting. Because each state would choose its own election day in 1800, voting lasted from April to October. In April, Burr's successful mobilization of the vote in New York City succeeded in reversing the Federalist majority in the state legislature to provide decisive support for the Democratic-Republican ticket. With the two parties tied 63-63 in Electoral College in the autumn of 1800, the last state to vote, South Carolina, chose 8 Democratic-Republicans to award the election to Jefferson and Burr. Under the United States Constitution, as it then stood, each elector cast 2 votes, and the candidate with the majority of the votes was elected president, with the vice president going to the runner-up. The Federalists therefore arranged for one of their electors to vote for John Jay rather than for Pinckney. The Democratic Republicans had a similar plan to have one of their electors cast a vote for another candidate instead of Burr, but failed to execute it, thus all the Democratic Republican electors cast their votes for both Jefferson and Burr, 33 in all for each of them. According to the provision of the United States Constitution, a tie in a case of this type had to be resolved by the House of Representatives, with each state casting 1 vote. Although the congressional election of 1800 turned over majority control of the House of Representatives to the Democratic Republicans by 68 seats to 38, the presidential election had to be decided by the outgoing House that had been elected in the congressional election of 1798. At that time, the new presidential and congressional terms all started on March 4th of the year after a national election. In an outgoing House, the Federalists contained a majority of 60 seats to 45. Disputes. Defective certificates. When the electoral ballots were opened in Canada on February 11, 1801, it turned out that the certificate of election from Georgia was defective. While it was clear that the electors had cast their votes for Jefferson and Burr, the certificate did not take the constitutionally mandated form of a list of all the persons voted for and the number of votes for each. Vice President Jefferson, who was counting the votes in his role as president of the Senate, immediately counted the votes from Georgia as votes for Jefferson and Burr. No objections were raised. If the dispute Georgia ballots were rejected on these technicalities, Jefferson and Burr would have lost 4 electoral votes, leaving them with 69 electoral votes each. The counting of the votes would have failed to result in a majority of 30 votes for any of the 4 candidates, causing a constitutionally mandated congressional runoff among the top 5 finishers. Instead, the total number of votes for Jefferson and Burr was 73, and a majority of the total, but a tie between them. Results? Jefferson and Burr won all or a majority of the votes in each state that he had won in 1796, and additionally won majorities in New York and Maryland. Adams picked up votes in Pennsylvania and North Carolina, but these votes were not enough to offset the Democratic Republican gains elsewhere, of the 155 counties and the independent cities making returns. Jefferson and Burr won the 115, 74.19%, whereas the Adams ticket carried 25.81%. This was the last time that Vermont voted for the Federalists. 1801 contingent election. Aaron Burr tied Jefferson in the Electoral College vote. In February 1801, the members of the House of Representatives balloted as states to determine whether Jefferson or Burr would become president. There were 16 states, each with one vote, and an absolute majority of 9 was required for victory. It was the outgoing House of Representatives, controlled by the Federalist Party, that was charged with electing the new president. Jefferson was the great enemy of the Federalists, and a faction of Federalist representatives tried to block him and elect Burr. Most Federalists voted for Burr, giving Burr 6 of the 8 states controlled by Federalists. The 7 delegations controlled by Republicans all voted for Jefferson, and Georgia's sole Federalist representative also voted for her, giving him 8 states. The Vermont delegation was an even split and cast a blank ballot. The Vermont delegation was even split and cast a blank ballot. The main state, Maryland, had 5 Federalist representatives to 3 Republicans. One of its Federalist representatives voted for Jefferson, forcing that state delegation also to cast a blank ballot. Publicly, Burr remained quiet between mid-December 1800 and mid-February 1801, when the electoral votes were counted. Behind the scenes, he faced mounting pressure from within the party to step aside if he and Jefferson should tie in electoral votes. He refused to disavow the president, writing in December 1800 to Representative Samuel Smith that he would not engage to resign if chosen president, adding that that question was unnecessary, unreasonable, and impertinent. Rumors circulated that President James A. Bayard, Federalist, had reportedly in Burr's name approached Smith and Edward Livingston with offers of political appointments if they voted for Burr. True or not, House Republicans who had, from the start of the 1800 campaign, viewed Jefferson as a candidate for president and Burr for vice president, faced 2 important possible outcomes when they met to vote. A, the Federalists managed to engineer a victory for Burr, or B, the Federalists refused to break the deadlock, relieving a Federalist Secretary of State John Marshall as acting president. Neither came to pass, however, chiefly due to the energetic opposition to Burr by Hamilton. Over the course of 7 days, from February 11 to 17, the House cast a total of 35 ballots, with Jefferson receiving the votes of 8 state delegations, each time falling just 1 short of the necessary majority of 9 each time. Hamilton recommended to Federalists that they support Jefferson because he was by far not so generous, by far not so dangerous a man as Burr. In short, he would much rather have someone with wrong principles, someone devoid of any. Hamilton embarked on a frenzied letter writing campaign to get delegates to switch votes. On February 17th, the 36th ballot, Jefferson was elected. Frederick James A. Bayard of Delaware and his allies in Maryland and Vermont all cast blank ballots. This resulted in the Maryland and Vermont votes changing from no selection to Jefferson, giving him the votes of 10 states and the presidency. Bayard, as a sole representative from Delaware, changed his vote from Burr to no selection. The 4 representatives present from South Carolina, all Federalists, also changed their 3-1 selection to Burr to 4 abstentions. Results. Electoral College selection. The Constitution in Article 2, Section 1 provided that the state legislature should decide the manner in which their electors were chosen. Different state legislatures chose different methods. The election story and in the eventual reconciliation between Jefferson and Adams was also retold in a second season episode of Comedy Central's Drunk History, with Jerry O'Connell portraying Jefferson and Joe Latruglio as Adams. The election story is also told briefly in Hamilton, the song, The Election of 1800. The song focuses on Alexander Hamilton's effect on the outcome of the election. For the most part, Hamilton chose Jefferson as the rival of both presidential candidates, but believed Jefferson was a better choice, which led to the election of President Jefferson. The story of the congressional runoff between Burr and Jefferson is told in Gore Vidal's 1973 novel Burr. Thanks for listening to this Election of 1800 story. Have a good week and stay safe.